May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 983. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. 983. Read together from Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my song. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me, and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, how we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real prayer. How we have to plead continually, Lord, teach us how to pray. But oh, we would thank thee. There is the throne of grace. There is the door of mercy, and that thou dost still intercede for thy dear people. And we would come, dear Lord, pleading that precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, that name that the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. And all we do seek as we gather this evening, that we may know those real divine blessings in our souls. Lord, we seek for a token for good, and oh, that thou wouldst grant it to us each. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant to us a heart to truly weep and mourn over our many, many sins. A heart to weep before thee. And oh, that thou wouldst grant, Lord, that heart repentance and true godly sorrow over our many, many sins. Oh, we would come with the publican when he said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, we pray that thou would have mercy upon us tonight, Lord, and thou would wash us and make us clean every whit from all the sin and guilt that plagues our souls. And oh, that thou wilt sweetly assure us that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that thou hast redeemed us, and that we are thine, and that thou art ours. Oh, we pray to have that real religion that's more than notion. That real religion that thou art the author of and the finisher of. That we may be amongst those that are truly born again. Thou hast quickened us into life. And Lord, how we need that quickening continually. For none can keep alive his own soul. And oh, that we may be real, lively characters in the vital things of God, among thy living family. We would pray with the hymn writer, with them numbered, may I be, now and through eternity. We pray thou wilt grant to us a soft heart, Lord. A heart that is tender. A heart that truly is humbled in the dust. We thank thee, dear Lord, for all thy goodness and mercy to us in spite of all our sin, our unbelief. And oh, we pray to have that heart to truly praise and bless thy holy name, and to give thee all the glory, all the praise. We would pray for thy dear people as they gather this evening. May it please thee to favour us, Lord, with thy sweet and sacred presence. Oh, that it may be noised as in thy word that Jesus was within the house. Oh, we would come with that desire of those Greeks of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, that we might have a glimpse by faith of a precious Jesus, that we may know more and more of his preciousness, his suitability, that we may know that sweet communion with thee, dear Lord, and fellowship with thee in thy sufferings. And oh, do grant to us, Lord, that grace to endure to the end. That grace, Lord, to be resigned to thy mind and thy will. Oh, do keep us from rebelliousness or hardness. But may we be melted by thy goodness and thy rich mercy. I pray thou wilt speak to our souls that we might hear thy voice, and that thou wilt so apply thy word with divine power. Do bless the hymns that we sing, Lord, and may we know the realities there are in them and the sweet experiences there are in them. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to bless thy word that is we have read together this evening. And oh, if it's thy will, do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. And we may be this night the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Do suit thyself to every sinner's case, and may none be empty sent away. And may there be, dear Lord, a portion for seven, and also for eight. Oh, do lift up any that are cast down, and those that are tried, Lord, deliver them from the tempter's power. Set at liberty those in bondage. And may there be those filled with thy love, that they might run in thy delightful ways. Remove all the hindrances to thy dear followers, that there may be yet others to follow thee here in thy sacred ordinances and commandments. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Do bless the dear children that gather on thy holy day, and remember them each, Lord, and bless the Sabbath school and the word that is set forth there, that it may have an abiding place in the hearts of the young. And may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Oh, do keep them from the world and all its snares and dangers. And we pray thou would hear the prayers of their parents for their offspring, and that there may be those raised up to be pillars in thy house. Do remember the dear young people, do guide them and direct them and help them to commit their way to thee. And may they see thee work wondrously. And oh, do remember, Lord, those in middle age and the many concerns and burdens and cares they have. We pray thou would undertake for each one. And those who may got some special need, Lord, and a special case, may it please thee to make bare thine arm and appear for them in all their need. Remember those in the evening time of life. Many, dear Lord, of our beloved friends throughout this land and abroad are in the evening time. And may they prove thy sweet promise, that at evening time it shall be light. Oh, do come, we pray, and work wondrously. And do bless this cause of truth. We pray for the deacons of wisdom and help and grace may be given to them, and gracious discernment to bless the hymns they give out. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. Who bless the ministry of thy servants as they gather, and may they come in the fullness of the gospel and be thy messengers, dear Lord, with thy message. And oh, do add to the church others, Lord, who hast worked wondrously in days past, and we pray that there may be, both here and in our own flock and throughout Zion, yet a gracious rain, and that there may be those further signs following the preaching of the word. And oh, that the word may go forth, lo, in weakness, Lord, be raised in power. And oh, we pray for healing mercies to those that are in affliction's pathway. We thank thee for those thou art restoring and strengthening. Do go on to be gracious to each one and make each bed in each affliction. We pray that thou wilt have mercy upon the churches and revive thy work if it would please thee. And oh, do appear in the nation, we thank thee for, Lord, thy wondrous works. And Lord, we pray for our Prime Minister now with the majority he has in the House of Commons, that thou wilt guide him and direct him and put thy fear and grace in his heart and in all that is before him and this nation. May this land once again turn to thee, and may there be those in government and in the House of Commons that continually have to look to thee for wisdom and grace in all the affairs of this nation. Oh, may there be those, Lord, raised up as thou didst raise up Joseph in his day to rule Egypt. How thou didst raise up Daniel in his day. And we pray that we may yet see it in this land. Many may fear thy holy name. Who root out all the laws, Lord, that are contrary to thy word. And may we have sound good laws according to thy word on our statute books. Now, Lord, we do need thee to come and help us as we turn to thy holy word. We pray for voice to speak, a hearing ear to thy dear people. And oh, do come, Lord, and apply thy word, that it may be the word of the King of Kings to poor needy sinners. Do make up in giving where we so fail in asking. Forgive anything we've uttered amiss and all our many sins, so we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. Do help us to praise and bless thy holy name. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 112. No more, my God, I boast no more of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I held before to trust the merits of thy Son. 112.
Attention, I direct you to Isaiah 38 and the fifth verse. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 38. And verse 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. We have this wonderful record in this 38th chapter of Isaiah of how the Lord appeared for dear Hezekiah. There are a few things I would just name in leading up to the text. First of all, he was sick unto death. The very sentence of death was upon him. Really, you know, we really think of right things in our own minds and hearts. Really, we are all under the sentence of death. Because every breath we draw from our first breath is one nearer the end, and we know not how soon the Lord will take that breath from us and we will be in eternity. And this sickness upon him was all appointed by the Lord. You see, he doth not afflict willingly, the word of God tells us. And there is often reproof in it and correction in it, and it is to bring the sinner right down so they are dependent upon the Lord. So this sickness was upon him. And the Lord sent the prophet to him. And we read in Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So he was not only under the sentence of death because of the affliction. The Lord had told him through the prophet that he should die and not live. How would you feel, and how would I, if the Lord were to say that to us? The third thing I would name is this. What the Lord spoke to the prophet to say to him, set thine house in order. And when you look at the case of dear Hezekiah at this time, his house under the roof of the skin, his own heart, was not in order. And what I mean is this, and the Holy Spirit wonderfully has declared it in his song of deliverance, that he had not received the pardon of all his sin. You think how solemn if we come to the hour, an article of death, and have not got the passport for heaven. The passport for heaven is full forgiveness of all sin. And Hezekiah's heart was not in order, that house under the roof of the skin. What about you and what about me? I remember, and I may have mentioned it before, but I remember going to a Cause of Truth many years ago on a Sunday evening, and I preached from those words, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And the close of the service, the deacon there, he said to me, "Whenever you come here, you bring a solemn word with you." And within 3 weeks, that man was in eternity. And I've never forgot it. It's very searching and very solemn. We believe it was well with him in the end, but he resisted the solemn searchingness of the word at that time. The second house that was not in order was the house where he dwelt. His own house. You know, I often think where we each dwell, is our house in order? Is everything in order? So when we come to die, everything is left in order. I have known several of the Lord's dear people, you know, over the years, that when they've been taken home, some of them fairly young and some older, everything as far as their financial affairs and their house where they dwelt and everything was left in order. So those that were the executors to the will and so on, everything was completely in order, waiting for the day when the Lord was to take them home. I remember Mr. Mulvey saying, and some of you older ones remember his faithful ministry, when his mother passed away, he said everything in her house was all in order, ready for her departing, even her burial clothes. And I've never forgot how he said that, you know. Everything in order. But then with Hezekiah, regarding his house and his family, there was no successor to the throne when the Lord spoke this. And during the course of those 15 years in which the Lord was to spare him, which I will come to later, the Lord wonderfully gave him a successor to the throne. Now, we're going further, thinking of the house. We think of the house of God in his day. There were many things concerning the church of God and the house of God that were not in order. So this was a very searching word, you see. And then you look at the nation. There it was, threatened by Sennacherib and the Assyrian army. Everything was not in order. So when the Lord sent Isaiah the prophet to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live," it was a comprehensive word that was to affect Hezekiah in so many ways that was not in order. But what effect did it have upon the dear man? What effect does it have on you and I if the Lord were to say that to us tonight? Well, with Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. The dear man knew in and of himself, and let us be very clear in this, he could not set the house under the roof of the skin in order in and of himself, nor could he his own house, nor could he the house of God, nor could he the nation. So what does he do? He faces the silent wall. And there's a lot of teaching in that, you know. He was turning away from everything of man and face the silent wall, and cries unto his God, prays unto the Lord, takes his whole case to the God of heaven. I believe, and I don't wish to bring this in wrongly, but I believe in many of the Lord's dear people in the last few weeks concerning this nation, many have had to turn to the wall and pray unto the Lord. And what was very wonderful to me was thinking of the nation and all what was taking place yesterday, and I preached at home from it. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Wonderful thing, you know, all in the Lord's hand. Now with Hezekiah, he goes to the Lord in the whole matter and spreads it before the God of heaven. There may be things that are burdening you and exercising you and me this evening. May we be like Hezekiah and turn to our face toward the wall and pray unto the Lord. Cast it into his hands, you see. Leave it with him. I love that couplet of the hymn, often quoted, he has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end. And so he prays to the God of heaven and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, the tears of the Lord's people, outwardly and inwardly, all known to him. The margin tells us concerning it when he wept sore with great weeping. Heart weeping. It wasn't just outward tears. It was inward weeping before the God of heaven. And then the Lord sent the prophet back to him, didn't he? What did the Lord say? Go, say to Hezekiah. It was a personal word from the God of heaven to the dear man. And one's desire was, when this text dropped in so powerfully, thinking of this service, that the Lord would come and say that to us, what he said to Hezekiah. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord. The word that Isaiah was to bring was the word from the God of heaven. It was not Isaiah's word. It was the Lord speaking. Thus saith the Lord. And you know, when the Lord speaks to his dear children, whatever he may say to them will be with power. And here this word was come with power from heaven to the dear man. And what did the Lord say? And it was very sweet to me when the Lord dropped it in. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Firstly, the God of David thy father. He could look back how the Lord had wonderfully heard and answered the prayers of dear David. The same God that had heard the prayers and that had gone out of David's heart and answered them was to do it for Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. And he could look back, couldn't he, and see how wonderfully the Lord had heard the prayers of David and sent the answers down. I have heard thy prayer. This was the word that really the Lord dropped in to bring before him. I've heard thy prayer. He won't be one of the happiest souls, I was going to say, in Great Britain, if the Lord were to tell you that, wouldn't you? I've heard thy prayer. It reminds me, and I may have mentioned it before, but in William Gadsby's time, you know, there was a godly lady who used to attend Manchester, and she had a lot of trouble, and a lot of trouble with her family. And many at the chapel said to her, well, why don't you pray for the Lord to appear in it all? And the dear lady, she said to them, I continually take it to the Lord in prayer. But she said, what I want and what I need is to have the Lord's ear in the matter. You know, when you've got the Lord's ear, you can spread it all before him, can't you? Now, this was so with Hezekiah, you see. The Lord was not only to answer that prayer, he'd heard his prayer. I've heard thy prayer. And it may be there are those of you this evening that have the things that you have to bring before the Lord continually, whether it's, well, let us look at it concerning Hezekiah. Firstly, about his sin. You know, it was a great grief to Hezekiah, all that sin that was within him. Oh, it was. And he couldn't remove it, Hezekiah couldn't, and no man could. And he pleads with the Lord. The Lord would remove all that sin that plagued his heart. And he speaks of it, doesn't he, in his song of deliverance. He says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. And then this beautiful word, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The dear man knew what it was to weep and grieve and mourn because of those sins. And he knew what it was for the Lord to say to him, I have heard thy prayer, and remove them all. I, even I, the Lord said, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. And poor soul, he can do it today. And when the Lord did it in the heart of Hezekiah, you see, he set all the house in order. He could lay down and die. And the Lord was to do it all. And you see, all his hope, all his salvation was in a precious Jesus. I've heard thy prayer. Now you poor soul that's troubled by sin tonight, way down, it may keep you awake many nights, may walk the house with it. The burden gets greater and greater. Think of dear Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. Oh, how heavy that load was. But when he came to the sepulchre, the whole load of that sin rolled from him. It was all gone. Think of those beautiful words of the Saviour. And dear John in his epistle speaks of it beautifully. When the Lord said that he would pardon all their iniquities and sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And what is so wonderful to me about that is this. You know, that blood, and I speak it with profound reverence, it still has the same power, poor soul, tonight as it did the day that Saviour shed it at Calvary. He can remove every sin, and listen, not only the sin, but the stains and marks of it. Oh yes. So it's all gone. Let me ask you this question in my own heart too, before the God of heaven. Have you an interest, or do you desire to have an interest in that precious blood? I say to my shame that in my early days, childhood days, I used to think, why do the old preachers so preach on the need of the precious blood of Jesus? And I couldn't understand why they did. Until the Lord brought all the sin home into my heart. How I'd fallen, grieved him. And the sins were like mountains. And then I knew what it was to need that precious blood. Do you feel to need it tonight, poor son? What does he say here? I've heard thy prayer. I've heard thy prayer for the Lord to pardon all those iniquities, all those sins, all those transgressions. And he can do it in a moment, poor soul. All be gone. I have heard thy prayer. But then, of course, there may be many things that you may be praying for tonight. Do you long for the Lord to say to you, I've heard thy prayer? As I said earlier about the nation, you know, I felt for some few days now, laid in my heart, Lord, do appear in this land. And you know, when the Lord dropped this word in yesterday, thinking of the service, last evening, really, it was after our service at home, I've heard thy prayer. You know, it really softened me. I've heard thy prayer. And I felt concerning even the nation, you know, the Lord would hear the prayers of his people. And he still can, and still will, and he will to the end of time. And then, of course, you see, think of your prayers for the house of God and the prayers for your family, the prayers that may be going forth tonight in your business or concerning the future, the unknown way, the prayers that go forth concerning our souls and the great day of death. You think of that beautiful prayer that we sing from time to time in that beautiful hymn, Prepare Me, Gracious God. Dear Mr. John Gosden, he said once, and I've never forgot it, he said, friends, he said, that's the prayer every day of my life. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe and wash us in, and wash me in his. In that precious blood we need it, don't we? So, he says, goes on to say, so shall I lift up my head with joy among the sons of God. And he will hear that prayer, you know. And he will answer. Now, with Hezekiah, the Lord was not only to hear it, that was music to his ears. Oh, it was. But he was to answer it. And deliver the dear man in his heart, in his house, in the house of God, and in the nation. And the dear man didn't have to lift a finger toward himself. It was all the Lord's work from beginning to end. And you know, really, this word, I've heard thy prayer, and come powerfully to a little child. I've heard thy prayer. Think of a dear little girl that used to be at Staples many years ago, before my time, in 1930s. You know, I used to take her dear mother to chapel in my teenage days, and she used to tell me all about her daughter. She was only 9 when she died. And she said, you know, I used to look at her sometimes, her mother said, and I used to think, if only the Lord would hear my prayers like he did that little child. Great matters of eternity were before her at that young age. And not only that, the great sins that troubled her, sins against a holy God, sins against his name, his cause, sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. She, you know, really, for the last few years of her life, she was continually at the throne of grace in prayer. Dear Mother used to say, I go in the room and there she was begging and pleading with the Lord. Well, the Lord did hear her prayer and he took her safely home to glory. She now joins that everlasting song and crowns him Lord of all. The wonderful way in which the Lord spoke to her, I've heard thy prayer. But that wasn't all what the Lord said to Hezekiah. But before I name it further, you know that is a wonderful word, not only for a child, but those that are in need and in trouble tonight, and those that are the aged saint. How wonderful it would be, wouldn't it, for the Lord to whisper that to us, I've heard thy prayer. Well, look at those in Scripture, they're God's holy word. You think of dear Abraham, when he was to offer up Isaac, how the Lord wonderfully heard his prayer and gave him faith to believe the Lord would answer that prayer. And you look how the Lord provided that ram caught in the thicket to be offered in the place of Isaac, and how Abraham saw the day of Christ. That ram was a beautiful type of the dear Redeemer, caught up in covenant engagements. And how the dear Redeemer was to be offered in the room, place, instead of his dear people. The deliverance the Lord gave to Abraham, I've heard thy prayer. And then you think of dear Hannah, how the Lord heard her prayer. I love that dear woman, you know. Her prayers were so real. You know, real prayer that is indicted by the Lord, and he will hear those prayers. And you look how the Lord heard her prayer, delivered her from her adversary, blessed her in her soul, and gave her a Samuel. I've heard thy prayer. Maybe where the Lord's given me this word to bring before you this evening, the Lord apply it to one wonderful thing, wouldn't it, to one poor soul. Well, I long for it for each of us. I've heard thy prayer. He can set everything in order that seems impossible to you. You know, we often look at things and they look all out of order. And we cannot begin to see how everything can be put in order. And we cannot do it ourselves. But the Lord can. And he can do it in a moment, as he did for Hezekiah. And then, of course, you can look in the New Testament. We think of dear Simeon, where the Lord heard and answered his prayer, that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. When they brought in the holy child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, And you can think of the dying thief, can you? Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And look how the Lord heard his prayer and answered it, didn't he? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. But then we read concerning Hezekiah. I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. You know, we have it recorded, don't we? The Lord keeps the tears of his dear people in a bottle. They're all known to him. He marks their sighs and he sees their tears. And as I said earlier, they're not only tears from the eyes naturally, though that may be so. They're tears in our hearts. If you look in the case of Hezekiah and the case of dear Hannah, they both knew what it was to weep. But there's some wonderful words, aren't there, if I may just briefly name them, of encouragement to weepers. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then to weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Think of the weeping disciples when the Saviour said to them he was going to leave them. He said to them, didn't he? Ye shall weep, and they did, didn't they? Oh, we think of how many tears went out of the hearts of those dear disciples when the Saviour said that he was going away from them. And oh, how they wept. But when you think of that beautiful word that he said to them, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And then he says it too in that verse earlier. He says this, verily, verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So there was this wonderful prospect before them, you see. The Lord turning all the tears of anguish and sorrow in the case of Hezekiah, in the case of Hannah, in the case of the dear disciples, into joy. So they wept for joy. I believe you know both sides of this weeping. Hezekiah did, and so did Hannah. You look in the case of Hannah and of Hezekiah, there was the weeping through sorrow, all that they were in, But when the Lord appeared, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. What was the effect of it? Well, with Hezekiah, they could truly weep for joy at all what the Lord had done. And so could Hannah. You know, we often forget the joy that came out of Hannah's heart, and too with Hezekiah. And what does he say? The living, the living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. But then briefly, and I will leave it, he says this, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. There was more to be accomplished in the heart and life of Hezekiah yet to be fulfilled. And the Lord was to, as it were, spare him a further 15 years to see the purposes of God brought to fruition. Oh, it was. It's a wonderful thing, wasn't it? Whenever I read this word, I think of one of my great uncles. The Lord wonderfully blessed him when he was 70. And he was so full of the blessing of the Lord that he ventured in the sacred step of baptism to follow his Lord and Master. And he was 70. And the Lord, in that blessing, said to him, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And you know, he lived exactly 15 years afterwards. What the Lord said to him, the Lord wonderfully fulfilled. You know, what the Lord speaks, he will fulfill in every jot and tittle. My word, he says, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And you think of Hezekiah, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And then he says this, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. It was what the Lord was going to do. Not only was he going to hear and answer his prayers, but he was to wonderfully fulfill what he had promised. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee. Those of you tonight that may be weighed down by sin, you need the Lord to deliver you from it all and from the consequences of sin. And the burdens that you may have, and the troubles you may have, I will deliver thee. And when the Lord says he will deliver you, poor soul, he will. You may have to wait his time for deliverance, but he will do it in his time and in his way. And not only was it for personal to Hezekiah, but too, and may we be favoured to see it in this nation, and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. You see, the Assyrians continually plagued the Lord's dear children, his dear people. And the Lord was to put them all down. And may we see the enemies of the truth in this land put down. And I will defend this city. And when he defends you, poor soul, you've got a safe defence in the Lord. He will defend you when everything around you may fail. Satan, he'll defend you from Satan, he'll defend you from yourself, he'll defend you from man, he'll defend you from all the evils that abound. And the Lord was to do it. He has said, I will work, and who shall let it? Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly whisper those precious words to your soul and to mine. I have heard thy prayer. It's not my word, it's what the Lord has said. Amen.
God willing, our friend Mr. Field is again expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Rosier on Wednesday evening of next week. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace, what glory and grandeur I see in his face, Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the void. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.